You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. It's a Tuesday. Won't be a boring Tuesday. Should be a fun Tuesday, Jay.
I think it will be. We got Steve Kerr coming in. And
who?
Steve Kerr.
I know that guy. Everybody knows about that guy.
Yeah. You know, I'm really excited. I've got to know Steve a long time ago, and I've always followed his career, and it's just been great to see what he's been able to
do. It's magical.
You know, it is. I mean, this is, it's one of those things that, you know, I know that he never expected this, you know, at the time he was going to the U of A here and all these great things that have happened to him, but they didn't just happen to him. He made them happen.
Right.
You know, he made them happen. He's a good guy. He's a worker. He's put this together and he's deserved everything he's gotten.
I could buy stock in him if I had any money.
It's been fun to watch. It's really been fun to watch.
Yeah, no question. And you saw him, he got here like 85-ish, I think.
Right at the start, 83-84 season in Lute's first year. Because he played 84-85-86 season, sat out 87, and then he finished within the 88 season, the final four seasons.
So okay.
He was here for 5 years.
Okay. Yeah, that must have been the case. I don't know why I don't know that, but I should.
He was in Lute's first recruiting class. And
I'm going to joke about it with that, because Bobby, when they went to go see him, he can't play.
Well, nobody thought he could play. He didn't think he could play. That's not true. He thought he could play, but he just wasn't getting recruited.
Right, right.
And, you know, I've been watching a lot of video of him, sure. Interviews he's done. And, you know, he came to Arizona sight unseen. He had never been here. He had never been to the campus. But he didn't have too many other offers, and so he came here.
Right, right. I think he only had one other offer. But we'll get to that. We're going to talk about the NBA.
Right. We want to talk about the NBA. And then we want him to tell us some stories about his time here in Tucson. And you know, he's really he stayed in touch with Tucson. He had a home here for a while, and you know, he came and did a summer camp,
right,
summer basketball camp
times
here for a number of years. And so it's you know, he's always kept a connection to Tucson. And just the fact that he's coming on our show, you know, we're not ESPN, we're not Fox Sports, and he's coming on our show, you know, we just asked and he said sure, and so we're happy he's going to be coming in.
I wonder if we're going to get the Grizzly Stevie Kerr or the Shaven Stevie Kerr.
Well, as of a couple of days ago, he still hadn't shaved.
He's been making the rounds on a lot of different things.
He has been, you know, and I get, just probably keep him busy, you know. I mean, I don't know how much there is to do at this point other than to wait for the basketball season to start. Right. We'll ask him that.
Right, you're right. No, good. Looking forward to that. But it has a lot of things going on in the real world of sports now. Grand Canyon is getting sued by Dan Majerle, Thunder Dan.
Sued by Dan Majerle. He's unhappy that they just kind of let him go and he doesn't think they fulfilled the terms of his contract, so he's filed a lawsuit against Grand Canyon University. We'll see what that's going to be. A sad note for Arizona basketball, Ken Burmeister, who was one of Lute's longtime assistants and came to Arizona with him when he came in the 83-84 season, he passed away from cancer today. Steve played for him for 3 years, so I'm sure Steve will have some thoughts on Ken Burmeister. I never met him. He took a job at Texas San Antonio the year before I started covering the team, but by all accounts, a great guy.
Yeah, no question. And a right-hand man to Lute in the early years.
Right, right. So it's, you know, a sad day. Like, again, you know, by all accounts, just a really good guy and was one of the guys obviously instrumental in helping to get this program off the ground.
You followed Lute when he first got here. I was not here at the time, but I started late in the 90s, 80s. Lute didn't have a jerk assistant coach.
Not that I knew of. I mean, Kevin O'Neill is a great guy, and he was kind of a hard guy, but
he was
friendly guy.
Yeah, right.
You could tell he was sort of the the sergeant at arms on the basketball
team.
He was kind of the enforcer for the players, but he had a relationship with the players, and I think all the players respected him. And I wouldn't ever call him a bad guy. I would just say he was the guy that, you know, kind of enforced things on the team during the time that he was here. I don't recall running into a coach that anybody thought was a bad guy.
No, they were all good guys, his assistant. And that's what you need when you're like the head CEO guy. Sometimes you have to be good cop, bad cop. Lute was the bad cop for his way?
Well, you know, Lute, and again, by all accounts, Lute had a relationship with the players, but he let the assistant coaches handle the...
He was a CEO.
Handle the day-to-day, making sure the players were going to class, all the things that had to take place to keep a program together. So what you can say is Lute did a great job of hiring assistants who managed all that for him.
Roz, McAndrews.
All those guys. McAndrews, Ricky Birdsong, all those guys, you know, top to bottom.
Finally caught lightning in a bottle, 97.
Yep. Well, you know, and that was an interesting thing with that 97 team, because I wouldn't even put them in one of the top five teams that he had, and yet that's funny. The one that won the national championship.
One of these days we'll do that because that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, would you? I mean, I can
top
I
five.
Can,
yes,
I can name four right now that were better than that.
Well, 88,
2001, 2003,
yes,
and 2005.
Oh, what about 98?
98. Well, yeah, but the 98 team was the same guys. They just, you know, it was a year
2005.
Older. 2005 was that team that lost to Illinois, the Shocker. They should have been in the Final Four. Yeah. The 94 team went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, that'd be a good debate. We'll get some people to call
us. A whole bunch of teams that I think you could say were better than the 97 team.
Yeah, yeah. It was just lightning in a bottle. That doesn't happen very often.
Well, yeah.
Okay, anything else sports-wise?
No, well, you know, since we're going to have Bob Baffert coming in on Thursday to talk horse racing and that whatnot, it was announced today the Belmont Stakes is going to run on June 20th. They're not going to have any fans. The race is going to be shorter because it's horses that are just kind of getting started.
Prepping,
but
right?
the Triple Crown is going to run this year with the Belmont in June, the Kentucky Derby in September, and the Preakness in October. So we're going to have that going on. So.
Right, and Bob has some very good horses.
Well, you know, guy's two-time Triple Crown winner. I'm interested. I've never met him, so I'm interested to have a chance to talk
to
him.
He's one of the good
guys. I've had
a
long-time interest in horse racing.
He's one of the good guys. Let's take a quick break here, come back, and see if we get Steve Kerr on the phone on the way back. Here on 10:30 The Voice.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez and a guy many people know in Steve Kerr. Steve, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you, Steve? What are you doing?
not a whole lot. Just I'm in San Diego at our house and got the whole family here. Which is nice because we're empty nesters now. So, you know, getting a little time with the whole crew is awesome, but under obviously very strange circumstances and, you know, difficult circumstances for a lot of people.
So seriously, yeah, I mean, you've been, you know, we've all been cooped up for, you know, the last 2 months, but since the season stopped for you guys, I mean, what actually have you had to do or been doing to kind of stay ready or be ready in case the season gets back going? I mean, what kinds of things have you tried to do to make sure that if it kicks in, you're ready to go?
Well, as you guys know, we've been in the middle of a difficult season, and so we're already out of the playoffs. And so, you know, what we've tried to do, you know, over the last couple of months since the quarantine started, is just stay in touch with our guys and really work internally to try to see where we need to get better. You know, whether it's the remainder of this season or next season, you know, this is a time when we actually have some opportunity to really delve into what we're doing and what we've been doing for many years. And it's a unique opportunity because usually we're just kind of going, you know, flying through everything and going from one thing to the next. So, you know, our players know they have to stay ready as best they can. And our practice facility is supposed to open up in a couple of weeks, so we'll be in there complying by NBA rules and state regulation and, you know, trying to train and see what happens from there.
How was the year for you, the season, given that over the last few years, you guys were spectacular, almost these glory years for the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, it was obviously a difficult season and very different for us. You know, we were blessed five straight years going to the finals and, you know, having so much talent, and then this year suffering the injuries and, you know, going to a really young group of guys trying to develop players. It's a different challenge, and it was satisfying in a lot of ways, especially watching the young guys get better, but also frustrating to lose games because it's, you know, we're all competitive and we're all trying to win. So it's a totally different kind of year, but we do think it was productive because our young guys got a lot better, and you know, hopefully once we're fully healthy again, we'll be back in the mix.
I mean, you're just not used to this. I mean, when was the last time you were even part of a bad team?
Yeah, you know, I played 15 years in the NBA, and I think I was on one sub 500 team. I mean, I lived right. I just went from one good team to the next. So I had a season in Cleveland with the Cavaliers, maybe about 1990, and Mark Price tore his ACL, and I think we won maybe 31 games. And but other than that, you know, I was on really good teams all the time, so I've been spoiled.
You lived right, but you also chose right. You went from the Bulls to the San Antonio Spurs and had some great years there. But let's go back to the obvious. You've been very busy on the tube talking about, that tells you how old I am, the tube, talking about the Chicago team and your time there. You became one of the stars on the show. And the one thing that I didn't see very often, maybe saw his face once, was BW and Buschner, we saw a little. But how was that with them being, you know, former UA guys on the same year?
Yeah, it was, that was a great year, you know, 97, I believe,
yes,
when
yes.
Brian, who had become Bison Daily by that time, he joined us for maybe the last 20 games of the season or so and played a huge role. And, you know, he and Judd and I shared that Arizona bond, and Brian and Judd actually played together at U of A. I didn't play with Brian, but you know, when he got to Chicago, the three of us just, you know, had a natural bond and loved playing with him. One of the most talented players I was ever around, and I think he really found a great situation waiting for him because he didn't have to be the star, but he could really use his talent, and he played a big role in the playoffs in 97 and really earned his keep.
In the round table you did a couple of days ago with Sean Miller and Matt Muehlbach, you talked about, you know, that U of A connection, you know, in the NBA, and that even to the point of a guy like Lauri Markkanen, who wasn't even born, I don't think, when you were at the U of A, you know, you know, there's still that connection with guys, just everybody knowing they're from the U of A. I mean, how's that been for you guys?
It's great. It's, you know, I think first there's just kind of a point of pride in the NBA where, you know, if your school is playing somebody else's school, you know, there's like an automatic bet that has to go on. And that's a really fun thing, you know, for especially guys in the Pac-12. You know, Klay Thompson and I have a U of A Washington State standing bet in both football and basketball, and you know, it just gives you a chance to kind of talk a little trash and reminisce a little bit. But yeah, the bond definitely is there, you know, even with the guys who I've never even met before. You know, I mentioned Markkanen, but you know, Aaron Gordon or DeAndre Ayton, you know, when we play those guys, you know, there's always an acknowledgement, you know, a bear down or, you know, whatever, or a few words about how the Wildcats are doing. And it's fun. It's great to have that connection.
And you have your connection on the bench with Q on the sideline. You had Luke on the sideline. There's a lot of UA guys out there still making a lot of money in the NBA.
Yeah, and you know, when I arrived in Golden State, Andre Iguodala was one of the key guys for us, and he and I shared really the same basketball philosophy that largely came from Coach Olson. You know, we learned the game the same way, and we learned to see the game in the same way coming from Lute. And that was a really important connection because, you know, I asked Andre to come off the bench. He had never come off the bench in his whole career, not a single game. And my first year, I realized that he could be a really powerful force for us if he came off the bench. And so it was easier to ask him to do so because we shared that connection. And, you know, I think it was the right time for Andre to agree to something like that. It was later in his career. He had, you know, he'd been an all-star and he made plenty of money. I think he was ready for something different. And of course, what ended up happening was he ends up finals MVP in the same season that he's coming off the bench. You couldn't have written the script any better.
This is just, you know, from where I sit as a, you know, non-athlete, never played college anything, but, you know, you became a general manager at one point. You became a head coach at one point. You hadn't even been a coach. All these things that happened, and you were, you know, in these seats for the first time. How do you figure out what you're supposed to do? You know, when you're going to your first practice as the Golden State Warriors coach or your first team meeting, how do you know what to do, what to say, how to act? You know, what's your philosophy? I mean, how does all that come together?
It's a great question, Jay. You know, I think for me, that was definitely how I felt as a GM in Phoenix when I arrived. You know, it was like I needed a crash course. Because I didn't know what the day-to-day life of a GM was like. But playing in the league for 15 years, I did have an idea of what a coach did. And I also had the experience of being a GM, and that helped me prepare for coaching. But more than anything, I really spent a lot of time. I gave it a lot of time prior to interviewing with the Warriors. I put in several years of preparing to coach, talking to mentors, talking to other coaches around the league, putting my thoughts on paper, and kind of writing a manifest for what, you know, what our program would look like and things I believed in, thoughts. And I found it was an idea that Jeff Van Gundy gave to me. He suggested I do it. And the great thing about doing that was that it helps me sort of crystallize my own philosophy. And, you know, sometimes writing things down allows you to think them through more clearly. And I think that was the case. And then with all that said and done, I got to Golden State and didn't know if any of it would work, but I happened to have this incredible roster. And, you know, players make plays. Players make a team. And so the whole point for us was really to, you know, just build a good culture and, you know, get the players to buy in and let them go. And obviously it's worked well.
I think that your philosophy of being you're a people person, there's no question about that. You know the game. I think that, doesn't that help with today's, I don't want to say kids, but players now, where you kind of let them play, you kind of maneuver a little, but that gives them some freedom to do what they want to do?
Yeah, I think so. And to be honest, Phil Jackson was ahead of his time, you know, and he did that 25 years ago when most other coaches were, you know, kind of dictators. And, right. You know, it was their way of the highway type thing, and that's how people looked at coaches. Phil Jackson was much more of the contemplative sort. You know, we would meditate as a team, and we would do mindfulness training, and he would ask guys for suggestions in film sessions. And so I learned a lot from him, and Greg Popovich too. Very open-minded. Both guys, the way they coached, they really allowed players to have a lot of input, and they were so successful with it that I knew that that's how I wanted to approach the job too.
We have about 1 minute left in this segment, but you talked about this. I think you won your first title, maybe whatever it was. You made it a point of thanking Lute with that regard, that how much he influenced you or whatever it was, and that meant a lot to him, I know, and to a lot of people that watch you grow up.
You know, I never talked to him about it, but I do remember mentioning him on the stage in 2015, you know, when we were getting the championship trophy, and Doris Berg asked me what I was thinking about, and I told her I was thinking about all my old coaches, because I really was given an incredible apprenticeship to coach, you know, to learn from Lute Olson, Lenny Wilkins, Greg Popovich, and Phil Jackson. I mean, that's, you know, four Hall of Famers, Cotton Fitzsimmons as well, and Phoenix, who was an amazing coach. So I couldn't have been better prepared just from, you know, having played for all those guys. And so that's, they were the ones I was thinking of.
We're going to take a quick break here. Talk to Steve Kerr on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Thanks, Steve.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and we have Steve Kerr on the line from San Diego.
So, Steve, I was doing my research on you, right? I was going through all your stats, your career at Arizona, a world championship, you know, five NBA championships as a player, three as a coach. But nowhere in any of that did I see anything about your one game with our summer league baseball team in the summer of 1988. Believe it or not, I still have the stats. We've got you down for one at bat. You took a walk and you scored a run, played third base. What I remember is that you had to go from first to third on a base hit, and you were sliding into third, and we all held our breath and closed our eyes that you weren't going to blow out your knee. Do you have any recollection of that?
Oh, I remember it well. What year was that?
It was after the 88 season. You were waiting to get drafted. And I think somebody told, the way we heard it was that somebody told you, you got to get off that team because you're about to be drafted by the NBA. And what the heck are you doing?
Well, first of all, I remember drawing a walk, and I was ahead of the curve on the money ball people. I understood the value of taking pitches and the base on balls. But no, you know, I loved baseball, and I don't even think Coach Olson realized it. But when I went home to Los Angeles in the summers after my freshman and sophomore years at U of A, I would play American Legion baseball with my high school buddies. And I never told Coach Olson. I just loved baseball, so I just went and played. And was all, you know, back then, like, things just didn't seem like a big deal. You know, we all kind of played a lot of sports. And, you know, there wasn't any social media. Nobody cared. You could get away with kind of anything you wanted. But part of my summers in college was going back and playing baseball.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, at that time, I was on that team. Greg Hansen was on that team. And, Dave Hirsch, you know, who I think he was the one who got you on the team. But, you know, we weren't going to report that. You were just out there, you know, trying to have a good time like everybody else.
Well, it was Dick Tomey was on the team.
Dick was on that team, and his son Rich was on that team. Rick LaRose, Dave Sitton. I mean, you know, a who's who of U of A athletics was on, because that's where that team got started. Dave and Todd Walsh, who was working in the athletic department at the time, were the ones who put that team together.
Well, I would still do it if I were physically capable. I would play on a softball team here in San Diego for many years with my buddies out here. It's too fun. I mean, baseball, softball, it's so much fun. And I still follow the game. I'm a big Dodger fan. I didn't admit that up in the Bay Area until we won the championship. I figured I was safe. But, not a lot of Dodger fans up there.
Invariably, when I've talked to you in the past, you talk about all the championships and all that, but I think some of your greatest moments and greatest times were here at U of A with the bonds that you created with the guys. Still hold?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys are still, you know, my best friends. I mean, Judd, Bushler, Q, Bruce Rosen, Lott Noblock, Sean Elliott, Tom Tolbert. I talk to those guys frequently and just texted with Kenny Lofton the other day. I mean, Harvey Mason. We just had an incredible group of guys and it's just different. College basketball is different from the NBA. It's a more innocent time, or at least it was then. I don't know about now, but it was much more innocent and it was just incredibly fun. And
did we drop him?
It was just catching fire.
I thought we dropped you there for a second. So, you know, Steve, I've talked in here since I got on the show about the access that we had back during that time. And, you know, when I was I covered two teams. I covered the team where you sat out the year, and then I covered the 88 team. And, I've talked about how, you know, we had you guys to ourselves. I mean, we could go get you after practice. We could talk to you. And I remember that before the season started, I picked you up after a practice on a Saturday, and we spent a couple hours together just talking about stuff going into the season. So I've always wondered, and I kind of felt this later on, or maybe my recollection has gone, you know, haywire, but did you have a feeling, or did you know that you guys were going to be that good in 88?
No. I mean, we knew we were going to be good, but we didn't know what that meant, because we hadn't been able to compete with the big boys to that point, you know. And so what was great was going up to Alaska immediately and winning the Alaska Shootout, beating Michigan and Syracuse, both were the top five at the time. So right away we realized, oh my God, we could win the whole thing. Like, we're that goal. It was amazing, you know, and it was, there was so much energy. It was so well balanced. We shot 55% as a team for the season, which is unheard of. It was just, everything just clicked. It was just a storybook season.
It's funny because a lot of this, you're self-effacing and you're very funny. I'm wondering if you own stock in dirt bags, because you do bring them up a lot.
Well, you know, all the players back then lived at Babcock Dorm, which was directly across Speedway Boulevard from Dirtbags. So I'm sure Coach Olson hadn't put two and two together. He might have moved.
So, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? Because we have this argument here all the time, and you know, I've got my son, who Adam, who actually went to your basketball camp a couple of times, but you know, we have the debate. Which was the best team that Arizona's ever had? And these guys don't believe me when I tell them that, even though, you know, you weren't very fast and McMillan wasn't very fast and Tolbert wasn't very tall, I still say that you guys were the best team ever. You would have beat the 2001 team that got to the championship. You would have beat everybody would have beat the 97 team, because they just got hot. But I've always said that they had to see you play to know how good you were. I mean, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you think you were the best team ever?
Well, I'm not going to answer that.
Come on.
for obvious reasons, I always will give the 97 team the nod, because they won it. You know, you got to go ahead and win it. And the tournament is it's incredibly powerful, and it's heartbreaking. And you know, they caught fire, and they did it. And I remember going to that game, that final game in Indianapolis, sitting with Sean Elliott, and we were so happy for everybody involved with the program. And I mean, that team, they were a four seed, and nobody could have really predicted that they'd win, but they did it. And coaches had other teams that were higher ranked, and the 88 team. And, I still learn to this day my performance in that Final Four. But like I said, that's, you know, the One bad game is all it takes, and you're out. And that's what happened in 88.
I think it's happened a couple of times. Saleem went 2-for-13 against Illinois in that tragic game against Illinois. And there was another time, 2-for-13 played a huge role in Arizona athletics for some reason. But that still haunts you. You've said that a few times.
No doubt. No doubt. It's the only game that I ever think about in terms of, man, I'd like to have that one back. That team was so special, and we were so good. We were 35-2, and I had such a magical season going that year, shooting the ball. I felt so good going into that game, and then had a couple go in and out right in the beginning of the game, and then just kind of lost my rhythm completely and my confidence, and couldn't get it back, and it was just spiraled out of control on me. And what a miserable feeling, just knowing biggest game of my college career and Final Four, championship game on the line, and I just couldn't find it. It was so frustrating. So, yeah, I still think about it.
Well, I don't know if this will make you feel better or worse, but I mean, I still thought you guys were the best team. I thought you were better than Oklahoma. I thought you were certainly better than Kansas, and then Kansas ended up winning the whole thing with, Danny Manning. But, it took a while for me to realize how good you guys were. Even after the shootout, I thought, okay, so, they got hot, they won the shootout, yada, yada, yada. But then when you guys just kept winning, just pounding people, I thought, man, And part of it, I think I've told people, is that I was born here, I lived here, I grew up with, U of A basketball and football, and Final Fours just didn't happen here. So it took a long time for me to come to grips with the fact that you guys really were that good. But going to the Final Four, I thought you guys were going to win it all.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I really did too. We were just so well balanced. Sean Elliott was the best player in the country, and just an amazing talent. And then everybody around him, just we all played our roles. And the team fit together so well, and we had incredible chemistry. You remember the Gumbies? Crew was just so excited and fired up every game. The crowd was amazing. I mean, it was just a magical time to be in McHale.
Let me remind you real quick. Bobby was one of my all-time favorite people. She was with Lute when she went to go see some guy play some basketball at the high school. I think it was somebody else, and you happened to be there playing as well. And Lute, you caught Lute's eye. Bobby told Bobby, this guy looks pretty good. And I guess Bobby said, are you kidding me? And true story, correct?
True story, yeah. Lute takes great pleasure in telling that story too. He loves to give me a little jab like that. But I was definitely a late bloomer, and it took me a couple years before I really felt comfortable and confident as a college player. I mean, I think by the middle of my sophomore year, I felt confident, but my freshman year, the game was going so fast, and I just had to catch up. I was not a highly rated recruit and not a great athlete, but it was just an amazing thing to develop and to be coached by that coaching staff. And by the way, I want to pass along my condolences to Ken Burmeister's family. We received news that Kenny passed away last night, and he was one of the assistant coaches on that squad. Just a great coach, great man, and he lost his battle to cancer last night. So we're all grieving today.
Yeah, we were going to bring that up. Very sad. I never got to meet him, but like I said earlier on the show before he came on, by all accounts, he was just one of those guys. One of those guys that just everybody just loved him. So let me ask you, because I know you you've kept your connection to Tucson. You had a home here for a while. You did the summer camp at St. Gregory, where my kids went to school there, and so you've always kept that connection. Do you, when you think about your time here, do you have a top memory? It could have been while you were while you were in school, maybe something afterwards. I mean, what's some of your top memories from being in Tucson?
Oh man, well, I was married there on campus at the Newman Center, My wife, Margo, and I had her for about 12 years. And so we had so many good times there, just walking from our house down to football games and tailgating. And so, yeah, a lot of fun times after we graduated. But, there's nothing like being a student and being on campus. It's such an amazing and an amazing place to be, and when you're that age and you're just getting your independence and in that beautiful campus every day and amongst the people in Tucson, it's just a phenomenal experience. So but my days on campus, they were so special. Honestly, I'm not even kidding. When I tore my knee, my first thought was, brutal. I just tore my ACL. My second thought was, I get an extra year of college. So, and that's not a joke. I'm not lying. That's the truth. So I got 5 years instead of four.
How was it? We talked about Buechler and BW with Chicago, but then you went to go play with one of your best friends in Sean Elliott at San Antonio and were able to win another title with him. How was that?
Yeah, that was so much fun to be reunited with Sean, and then of course he went through the kidney transplant and the comeback from that, and Sean has stayed in San Antonio and still doing TV there, so he's made it his home, but San Antonio was our family's home for 6 years, and we have great memories from there too. So. Well, it's really interesting how my career has sort of just been intertwined, with so many people from U of A, all the way from, from the very beginning to now with the Warriors. So there's been this common thread.
So I'm wearing my Popovich Kerr shirt today. when are you guys going to declare? We need some leadership here.
Yeah, I'm just his campaign manager.
sure. It's been great to talk to you. Fantastic to talk to you.
Well, fun to visit with you guys, and just want to say hi to everybody in Tucson, and I hope everybody's hanging in there. I know these are difficult times for a lot of people, and. Hope everybody's hanging in, and it seems like we've got a little momentum. People started to get back to work a little bit, and hopefully we find the right balance between working and staying healthy, and we're able to kind of get over the hump with this thing. But a big hello to everybody out there.
Well, Steve, I do appreciate it. It's great to catch up with you, and you were a big part of my sports writing career, and I those were like you, though, that was that was a highlight of my my newspaper career, just covering that team. And so I want to say thanks to you, because that was a lot of fun. So I appreciate you coming on with us, and hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Love to.
Okay,
right.
Great.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a bunch,
Steve.
Take care.
That was Steve Kerr, obviously the coach of the Golden State Warriors. We'll take a break here and come back here on 1030 The Voice.
Go local. Make the switch. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer customized solutions and get you what you need faster. Like our quick and easy credit cards and auto loans. All done online from start to finish. Save time using mobile banking, bill pay, mobile deposit, and mobile pay with just a few clicks. Live large, accessing 30,000 plus surcharge-free ATMs and free debit card choices. Make the switch to Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/switch. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. Alongside Jay Gonzalez, I'm Steve Rivera. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. He's such a good guy, and he's always been so, easygoing, easy to get along with. He's he's accomplished so much, yet he's stayed so grounded.
Right.
And I think that's the charm of a guy like that.
Yeah, not to get political, because I hate politics, and I was kind of joking about the Popovich stuff, but this is without hesitation. And you've met some guys, the same guys I met. I have yet to meet anybody smarter than Steve Kerr.
He's pretty darn smart.
Not just on subjects, everything, pretty much everything.
Well, he's thoughtful, and you can tell that he's, you know, he reads and he pays attention to things going on around him. Yeah. He understands his position. You know, he understands that he's got a platform and he states positions, and he's never I think he's just very rational about things that he does and the things that he says. So I follow him on Twitter and stuff, and I respond to some of his stuff because he comes up with stuff and you think, I wish I had said that.
Right. Him, I'll give you him, Matt Muehlbach.
Right.
Obviously, I covered Loot. Sean Miller, I always say this about Sean. Sean's very smart. We all know that. But he always has the answer before you ask the question.
Well, you know, and again, Steve is just a guy who's just willing to, you know, he'll talk about it. I tried to pin him down on the 88
game.
Yeah,
he won't go there.
He wouldn't do that. But, you know, and I still stand by what I say. That
see, I'm a 2001 guy.
They would beat anybody. I just do because of the way that team played as a team. So,
yeah.
I was trying to get him to say that so that I could go to my kid and say, see, I told you.
Now your kid's going to say, see, Steve Kerr could even convince.
I know. But he's too good a guy to just, you know, make a comment about another team.
Right. No, he was. I covered the 97. I happened to be lucky enough to be sent to cover that 97 team when he won when he hit the shot to win the title. And we were on deadline, I think it was. And I asked him, could you hypothetically tell me if something like this happens, could you give me a quote because I'll be in deadline? He says, I'm not going there. You know, he's very smart. I'm not going. I'll talk to you after the game. If it happens, it happens. But I don't talk in hypotheticals.
How funny. Yeah. No, he's, again, you know, just there's a reason that he's loved everywhere he goes. You know, they love him at Golden State. You know, wherever he was, people thought well of him. And so, you know, it's just always fun to talk to him.
Right. No, it was a lot of fun. I think you've been here, 10 days, 9 days, something like that? You're batting about 700. Yes, that's pretty good. We've had some pretty good. Greg Byrne, Steve Kerr, a lot of guys before that. I can't remember.
Terry Francona. We had,
the New Mexico State baseball player Martinez or Gonzalez.
Well, look, that's what we're trying to do with the show.
Yeah,
we want to talk about Tucson sports, but there are a lot of great Tucson sports figures, national figures who can come on and talk about the NBA, Major League Baseball, you know, probably the NFL, whatever, but then can talk about their connection to Tucson.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to be. And I think that, that's what we're looking for. And so, you know, when we bring these guys on and we're lucky to get Steve or Terry Francona or somebody on for half an hour, you know, we want to talk about the issues of the day, but then we always spend some time
talking about them
and their time in Tucson, because I think that connection, you know, people love having that connection with big time athletes and big time sports figures.
That said, we have not a guy connected to Tucson, but Pac-12 tomorrow.
Right. We're going to bring Yogi Roth on tomorrow. He's an analyst for Pac-12 Networks, does, all the sports. And Yogi spent last week talking to all the Pac-12 football coaches. They did these webinars with three coaches at a time. They did four of them, including one with Kevin Sumlin that we, you know, played parts of that last week. But I want to talk football with him. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about COVID. We know where we are on that. You know, things are happening. It's changing every day. But I think we want to spend some time talking about, okay, what's going on in football? It's starting to look like we're going to have a football season, whether it starts on time or whether we have fans or whatever. It seems like there's going to be a football season. So, you know, let's start talking about what that might look like in terms of what's it going to look like on the field? Who's good? You know, what are the coaches? I was impressed by, I'll listen to them by tomorrow, but I've only listened to a couple of them. I love Justin Wilcox, the coach at Cal. He just seemed like a very straightforward guy. Mario Cristobal, I listened to him and Coach Sumlin. So I'm going to be interested to see Yogi's take on all the things that were covered last week.
Right. And on Thursday, one of my idols, if I can say that, Bob Baffert. I was going to try to joke with Steve. One weekend, I would love to come back as Steve Kerr or Bob Baffert, just for a weekend.
I'd just like to get Bob Baffert's seat at Churchill Downs. Just give me that. That's bucket list all day. I'd love that. I've followed him and the things he's done in his career, and it's great that he's an Arizona guy and he's proud of being an Arizona mm-hmm. guy. We see him at U of A basketball games. I've seen him as a guest of President Robbins, and
he did the game day. He was the game day guest,
right? Yeah, he was on game day. So I love that. Again, another guy who's hit it big. He's as prominent as anybody can be in his field, in his sport. Mm-hmm. Yet he stays connected to Tucson, and I love that about guys like that.
And he's not even really a Tucson guy. He's a Nogales guy.
He's a Nogales guy, but you know what? We claim him. We claim him because he went to the U of A. You know what? If you set foot on campus, you're a Tucson guy.
Right, no question. Oh, you're a U of A guy, yes, yes. So good week so far.
Again, another good, you know, we've got it going. So Yogi Roth tomorrow, Pac-12 Networks, and Bob Baffert on Thursday.
Yeah, maybe we start getting calls. I know we take a lot of the time doing the interviews, but if anybody wants to fill in and call, just give us a quick call.
Yeah, just feel free to do that.
Right. Good show, Jay.
Thanks a bunch, man.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for being here.
We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see everybody tomorrow here on 1030 The Voice. Thanks.